DW, the 77%.
It's over now, and I see myself in trust.
The war is over now. I want to do something for myself, but how will I do it when I'm on drugs?
This is the voice of Liberia's abandoned generation. The war ended in 2003, but a new problem has emerged. But where national institutions have failed, one man is giving ex-child soldiers a new lease on life.
I want them to be off the streets and to abandon their rebel mentality. They must learn to take control of themselves and create their own jobs.
Do you have ideas on how Africa can rehabilitate former child soldiers? We would like to hear them. Go to our Facebook and YouTube pages, DW Africa. This is the 77%, your platform to talk about issues affecting young Africans. I am your host, Michael Oti.
I point rubber penny.
Oh, really? Yeah.
They pin it up. I point it rocket. Come on, man.
Yeah, where, man?
Yeah, so what you just heard is an interaction between a journalist and some child soldiers. And sounds like this were very common during the Liberian Civil War, which started from 1989 all the way till 2003. Thousands of children took part in that war. Now the war has ended, and Liberia is relatively safe, but the scars still remain. Many of the ex-combatants suffer drug dependence. Let's now head to Monrovia, where our correspondent Evelyn Kpade has been speaking to some of these ex-child soldiers.
I'm here in some part of Liberia called Gobachop Field, where an organization with a project called Social Economic Empowerment of Disadvantaged Youth in Liberia, SEED. The SEED project is working with former child soldiers to rehabilitate them, give them empowerment skills. During the Civil War, these young people fought for two different warring factions. Now that the war is over more than 16 years now, they are still fighting another battle, and that battle is the battle against drugs. We are here to find out how they got recruited, what is life like now for them, and how is the drugs affecting their lives. How were you recruited, and which faction were you fighting for?
I was recruited when I was in Bong County going to school when Benjamin Nyanten entered Bong County, which is Baranga City. My friend and I came from school and joined demonstrations. They came to us and said they were looking for fighters. They collected us and told us they were searching for more soldiers. They took us to Nama base and they trained us to fight.
And how long did you fight for?
From 2003, I fought all the way the war.
From 2003, I fought until the war was over. Then I moved to Monrovia and later Freeport.
I've been joined by Prince Kalawolo and Junior Goodluck, two young men, and one fought for NPFL, the other fought for INPFL. But now with this single battle, they are fighting against drugs. Junior Goodluck, can you tell me how you got recruited?
I was on campus when the rebels entered the town and all the people ran away. So they collected us from the campus and put us in a car and took us to an unknown area. Before we knew what was happening, we were holding guns. I was around 16 or 17 years.
16 to 17 years.
Okay, let me hold you right there and talk to Prince Kalawo.
I was recruited by the NPFL forces at the time. They entered our village and mistreated both my grandparents. So they took us forcefully and they put heavy loads on our heads and took us to Banga. I found myself at their base. There was a lot of tension and mistreatment. Sometimes we did not eat because they said we were going through guerrilla training.
And we'll pass through all our process.
Why did you use drugs?
We started using drugs during the war with our senior brothers and commanders. They would put it on plates, heat it up, add some grass, and we would smoke it. Whenever you smoked it, your eyes would turn red, and it made us in a way brave. So whenever they told us to move, we moved. That's how I started taking it. And when you took it, it made you brave to move on the battlefront.
Be brave to move on the battlefront.
So let me put that question to you, Prince. Why did you use drugs during the war, and now that it is still affecting you, why they give it to you people?
I get familiar with the drugs through my commander.
I got used to drugs through my commander, and there was a time I got wounded. Other children who are not brave ran away. But me and others, we still had energy for the war. After getting wounded, they gave us drugs on a plate again. After taking these drugs, human beings look like chicken to you, and when they told us to move, like from here to Totota, we used to walk long distances, would walk and accomplish any mission successfully.
For me, the great battle I have to fight now is to fight drugs, because during the war, we would open the bullet and mix the gunpowder with grass. We would smoke that. All this came from the war. The war is over now. I want to do something for myself, but how will I do it when I'm on drugs?
I want to do something for myself. How do I interest me?
On the drugs, you know, getting addicted, how is it impacting your life right now?
Sitting here now, I am fed up with the entire drug situation in my life. It's just that one can get addicted so easily. It's difficult to leave it. I'm fed up with it. Drugs have done nothing good for me. It has forced me into prostitution, and it makes me to work for people. The kind of work I should not be doing. I really want the government to help me get out of drugs. Some days I want to leave drugs, but it's now in my blood, and when it's in me, to even wash my own clothes, it becomes difficult.
And the drugs affecting my life so seriously.
The drugs are affecting my life so seriously. I used to see it like a good thing. I still do it because I'm frustrated. I lost my father and my other family members. Now that we are fighting drugs, they have all abandoned me because I'm in the streets. They call me Zogo. I'm dirty. I live on the streets, sleeping on market tables with no help.
Well, they just forgot about all looking at crazy people on the street.
So that was our correspondent Evelyn Kpade in Monrovia talking to some ex-child soldiers who are currently struggling with drug dependence. And in here in the studio, I have been joined by our very own Eddie Micah Jr. Thank you for joining the show.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
So you've had a couple of young child soldiers there. Many of them were recruited when they were still under 18, and currently they are dealing with the issue of drugs. Do you think that Africa has failed these young people?
I think the straightforward answer would be yes, if we have a couple of them. I heard Evelyn Kpade talking to a few of them, and clearly they feel abandoned. They feel they've not been as we were talking earlier, been integrated into society. Because like you rightly said, who is a child soldier? Someone under the age of 18 who has, in most cases, they've been forced into battle to be part of a military, whether it's a rebel group or government military. And most of these don't have a choice to make. It's either being forced or it's either the circumstances that they face, they have no choice but to just join these gangs. And they are kids. I think that's one thing that we forget. They are kids. And so when they are no longer soldiers for whichever group it is, they need that extra care. It's a more of a psychological thing.
Exactly.
They need to be, their mind sort of has to be reversed and rewinded back to be ordinary people of society. And that doesn't seem like that's what's happening. And of course, if that's not happening, remember, like I said, they are children. So most of them obviously had to use a lot of drugs to be able to face the atrocities that that they embarked on. So definitely they have failed them. Talking about African governments, the AU, they have failed them. And a lot has to be done to get them back on track.
That is true there. But hold your thoughts, because around the world, and especially in Africa, children continue to pay the price for conflicts. And here is what the UN says, that in the last decade, there were more than 170,000 violations against children in conflict. This means that by the end of today, as we are having this conversation, there would have been 45 different violations against a child. And this has been going on for the last 10 years. Now, here is what the UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, has been saying on the matter.
It is our fundamental duty as leaders to do everything in our power to protect children, our future, from the chaos and madness of wars that have nothing to do with them. Together, we are beginning to make progress, but we need to continue on that path, and I urge you to make it a priority for this Council.
Now, he's not the only one who has been talking about this particular issue. The AU's Peace and Security Commissioner, Smile Cheguin, says that the Union is committed to stamping out this problem.
If guns are to be silenced, are sustainably silenced in Africa, fundamental rights and liberties, including the rights and welfare of children, must be protected through the rule of law. This is one of the principles that underpins the African peace and security architecture and the African Union's efforts in preventing, managing, and resolving conflicts in Africa.
That was Smile Cheguin, the AU Commissioner for Peace and Security. Now, back here in the studio, Eddie, do you think that the AU is really walking the talk?
A former child soldier doesn't just need to be, say, put back to school, for instance, or to sort of find a home for this person, just for the person to live there and sort of assume that's just a natural way to get back to normality. We're talking about someone who's gone through lasting psychological effects. We're talking about someone who's endured a lot of trauma, who's endured a lot of mental health issues as a result of the many years being a child soldier. So I think it's more the approach that the AU and indeed other organizations use for child soldiers.
Every year on the 12th of February, International Red Hand Day addresses this specific problem. And since the year 2000, many, many countries in Africa have signed on onto the pact that makes this illegal, but nobody gets punished. Although we do know, according to UNICEF, that more than 30,000 children in the Democratic Republic of Congo alone are being forced to serve as soldiers, sex slaves, and laborers. Mm. And yet there isn't anyone being held accountable for this. How can Africa address this specific challenge?
I think you and I can obviously knock our heads together and come up with possible solutions. I mean, there's so many ways, first of all, to deal with this. First of all, I believe in prevention is better than cure.
Yeah.
To first of all even prevent the situation or help prevent the situation where children have no choice than to be part of a military group or gang, you know. First of all, that should be addressed. And there's so many reasons that lead to this. You know, if the AU as a whole and different African governments are not doing enough to ensure peace and stability in their country, are not doing enough to ensure that many young people are being educated, are not doing enough to... It's all about, for me, leadership plays a huge role in here. You know, if you have selfish leaders that just are looking at what they can gain politically and not focus on the country as a whole, then you have a lot of these gaps that especially young kids now have to fail to make meaning of the lives that they live. So prevention, first of all, is better than cure. Then I will definitely repeat, because I take it very seriously, issue of mental health, especially with the young kids that have gone into this. Now, those that are already in, because that's what today's topic is about, those that are former child soldiers but have not been properly taken care of, and now they need that help. So government then has to really invest a lot. It's all about the policies also with these particular governments. How much money are you dedicating to treating it? What are the right people that you're putting in place to be able to understand that, hey, it's not just an issue of this and that, but let's deal with your way of thinking, your mentality first. So all these things have to be put in place, and the leaders have to make it a priority. Otherwise, exactly as we said earlier, World Vision is talking about it, the UN is talking about it, the AU is talking about it, but we still don't feel like enough is being done to nip this in the bud. And I think that is what we have to keep hammering, so leaders do more about this.
You make a good point there. But let's also go onto our Facebook page and find out what people are saying on this particular issue. Wilson Karawee says that if they demand justice in Liberia and other countries on the African continent where children's lives have been damaged by political actors, then this situation will be addressed. And again, Basse Tasia says the international community needs to hold those warring parties liable for breaking the law. And Dr. Lanes Perera says that the warring parties should be called together and peace talks should be mediated to stop the war. They should stop window dressing. Here he's talking about the African Union. Now let's turn our attention to some good news. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, a former child soldier and boxing champion, Balezi Bakunda, aka Kibu Mango, has founded a club to train street kids as well as ex-child soldiers like him. He hopes to set them up on the path to a brighter future.
Meet Balezi Bakunda, also known as Kibu Mango, a former child soldier, rebel, and a boxing champion. Here in Goma, in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, he is welcomed every morning as he walks or trains from his home to the Volcan Stadium. Neighbors and strangers call out master and champion as he passes by. Kibu Mango shares his experience and skills with street kids and former child soldiers. He has started a project called the Friendship Boxing Club, or Club de l'Amitié.
I want them to be off the streets and to abandon their rebel mentality. They must learn to take control of themselves and create their own jobs. I'm here to help them achieve this so they can help their communities. This is why I am proud to train them.
Goma lies at the heart of a region rich in mineral resources. It was also the site of one of the deadliest conflicts in recent history. Kibu Mango, now 41, was recruited by the regular army when he was still a minor. He was later recruited by a rebel group who wanted to overthrow dictator Mobutu Sese Seko. He fought in the militia until he lost his left eye during an air raid. It was then that he decided to drop the gun and pick up the boxing gloves. J.P. Morgan Mwamba, a longtime member of the club, was adopted by Kibu Mango after his parents were murdered by the armed group that he had escaped from.
The Club de l'Amitié is like a family to us. The experiences that I had as a child soldier are like the experiences of being a criminal, of killing people, of raping people. Those are experiences that I can't really bring into my life. But thanks to the master, today I belong to the club. He's like a father to me.
In a region where thousands of young people have been orphaned, Kibu Mango has become a respected role model for young people, many of whom are dealing with serious traumas inherited from a life marked by violence. But if boxing and training are a form of physical and emotional therapy, fixing cars provides another means of survival and income for Kibu Mango and his army of young boxers.
I really like that working space over there. Most of these kids are car mechanics. I teach them this job. We still train them in boxing, and after practice is over, they all come back to work as mechanics.
Back at the training site, Kibu Mango is preparing his pupils for a regional tournament, and his protege, JP Morgan, is fighting for a regional title. The emphasis is not only on physical training, but also on concentration and mental health. After all, the Club de l'Amitié is all about transforming feelings of revenge and frustration and replacing them with new aspirations. Finally, the day of the fight arrives. After an exciting clash, JP wins. It's a well-deserved victory and a fresh wave of excitement for the club members. For Kibu Mango, it's another achievement. It might be a small one compared to the difficult journeys that many of the kids he trains have gone through, but it reaffirms his commitment to their healing and survival and serves as inspiration to keep on fighting.
Indeed, the problem persists, but people like Kibu Mango have shown that individuals can and should make a difference, one person at a time. That is our show for today. Thank you for listening. You can watch the story of Kibu Mango on our YouTube page, DW Africa, as well as many other inspiring African stories. If you want to listen to this show and previous editions, go onto our website, dw.com. The conversation about Africa's youth does not stop here. Let's continue online on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Until next time, I am Mike Luti. Thank you for listening.